The Bama Beat. From the sports desk of the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. Now, the Bama Beat Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bama Beat. I'm Ben Jones, and we have a special guest this week. For the first time, we've got Gary Cosby, the photo editor for the Tuscaloosa News. Gary, how's it going?
Good, man. Good to be here.
Yeah. While we're in the off season, instead of beating all those off season topics to death that Tommy and I had talked about previously, we thought we'd do some different stuff for you guys, kind of talk about different aspects of our jobs and different ways that we cover Alabama, different ways that other people get to view the program. Gary obviously has a different viewpoint than us, being a photographer instead of a writer. Gary, how did you end up in this position? You got to this job a few months after I did, so we're both going on 3 years here now.
Yeah, that's right. I came from Decatur. I worked for the Decatur Daily for 21 years before I came here, and I had worked for 4 years in Elizabeth City, North Carolina before that, so I'm kind of, as they would say, long in the tooth. But I've covered, I was just thinking about this the other day, I've covered at least one SEC football game for the last, well, since 1994 when I came to Decatur. So I've shot every Iron Bowl in that time frame except for two. And one of those was I was out of town in Florida doing a rocket launch. So, you know, yeah, I chose the rocket launch over
not
the
a bad
bowl game. No, not too bad. So, yeah, I had, before coming here, had been a photojournalist for quite a long time.
Yeah. And before that, you had a different career as well,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, it wasn't actually a career so much as it was a career intention, I guess. When I was in high school, my father was a volunteer fire chief. And I was, as soon as I got old enough, which as it turned out was 15 in our volunteer fire department, I became a volunteer fireman. And I fully intended to be a career firefighter. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I had actually, when I was a senior at UNA in Florence, I'd interviewed for Florence Fire Department. And one of their civil service board members pretty much changed my life. He said, I was in the interview. I mean, I was that far into it. I was ready to be hired. And he told me then, he said, we love your credentials. We know your experience. And of course, he didn't say it, but he knew my dad. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to have you. He said, I got one question. He said, if we hire you, will you finish your college degree? And I, of course, said, yeah, absolutely. And he looked at me and pointed this little finger at me and said, no, you won't. he said, you come back when you get that degree and then we'll talk. And then, of course, I graduated and I had a chance to do some other things. And it just, one thing led to another. And I found myself drifting from firefighting more towards photojournalism.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was an interesting transition.
15 years old. I don't know if I even had hair on my chest at 15.
Well, it was kind of like a mentoring program, if you will.
Okay.
You could be
so you're
in
not running into the building.
Well, actually, I was, but I was always running into the building with an adult.
I'm not sure that makes it better.
Well, you know, I hung on their coattails for a couple of years. That's what it came down to. And back in those days, we didn't even use the air packs like they do now. So you had to learn how to breathe in a fire, because if you didn't, you pretty much die.
Back when they called them leather lungs.
Yeah, right? Leather lungs, exactly. Yeah. I didn't think anybody knew that term. But yeah, we leather lunged, man. And the only time we used an air pack was for search and rescue. But to actually fight a fire, you went in and you just had to learn how to breathe, which wasn't easy. But yeah, you followed in a mentor into these places. And my dad was that guy a lot of times. But other times, there was a captain that he assigned to pretty much be my guardian angel. And in fact, that captain did save my life one morning about 3 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, it worked out. So
I think this is pretty interesting. Maybe one day on the news side of things, the Newsroom Tuscaloosa News podcast will talk to you about all this background, because I would like to hear about the captain who saved your life.
Yeah,
I would like to hear about how you can train yourself to breathe in a fire, because I don't think the human body is really designed to do that.
No, not at all. And in fact, when I say you train yourself to breathe, you basically train yourself not to die. It's not like you're breathing very well, but yeah, there are techniques you can use to learn to get enough breath that you won't go crazy and go out. So,
but in any event, we can talk about shooting Alabama football here and covering Alabama sports. So you and I were talking right before we started recording this. We said that we cover 5 Alabama sports regularly throughout the course.
That's just in the spring.
Yeah. And then you count women's basketball, men's basketball, football, it's, you know,
it
gets up there pretty quick. But for starters, what's a normal Alabama football game day like for you? Because that's kind of what everybody asks me about when talk about my job.
Well, we're looking at pretty much a minimum of a 12-hour day. We get to the stadium usually about 2.5-3 hours ahead of game time. But we may also be working on the quad doing, you know, pictures of fans. But, you know, it can get into a pretty long day. We get there 2.5 hours early, get our passes, get set up in a workroom, which is down at field level under the student section, down at South End Zone. And
does it get loud in there ever?
Not from fans, but the visitor locker room is right across the wall, and you would not believe the music. Oh, yeah. All right, I'm old, okay, but there's rap, and then there's whatever these. I never was a rap fan, so you know they boom this music
in the fail room.
Oh, it's awful. And then of course after the game you don't hear any music. So because very seldom does Alabama lose a home game, so we don't often hear music in the post game. But
I'm not sure Alabama has lost a home game since you've been here, actually.
Because
the last one they would have lost would have been like 10 minutes after you got here then, right?
Well, that would have about 10 minutes before I came. That was my last game in Decatur when I worked for the Decatur Daily. And that was that weird game where a ball bounced off of a helmet. And, you know, all sorts of weird stuff happened in that game.
But since you actually started working for the Tuscaloosa News, I don't think they've lost one at home.
Yeah, maybe Coach Saban should consider me a lucky charm. What do you think?
Maybe.
Hey, championship games, 2 championships since I've been here. It's not bad.
Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you, though. So you're talking about the beginning of the game and the visitors' locker room, the fail room is right next to you guys.
It gets really loud. And we kind of joke around about the music down there because, you know, most of the photographers are kind of like, dudes, could you hold it down? We're trying to work here, you know? Mm-hmm. And it really drives the video people crazy because they're trying to edit down there. And, you know, they got to have headphones and stuff to block it out. So that's sort of the pregame. And, you know, the universities wherever we travel, they generally feed us a pregame meal, and you can, if you have time to go up to the press box, you can eat. If not, they'll bring you the god awfulest hot dog you have ever tasted in your life at halftime. And we joke that they were brought over on Noah's Ark. They just microwaved them. They're not good, but they did give us a break last year and bring some barbecue sandwiches in a couple times. So
yeah. So do you prefer to cover a day game or a night game, or does it depend on the time of year? Because for those folks who are listening who maybe don't know a photographer or don't know a whole lot about this industry, the thing that photographers obsess about more than anything else is light.
Oh, absolutely.
And obviously the lighting is very different, completely different for a day game versus a night game. And, you know, whether the game is right at sunset or if it's at, you know, 11 a.m. and you're out there scorching in the sun in September. So do you have any preference for day games or night games?
Well, from a deadline standpoint, you always prefer the day game. Mm-hmm. From a lighting standpoint, you always prefer the night game because it's even and never changes. The one thing,
you have the stadium lights all around.
Yeah, the stadium lights are consistent. The one thing that absolutely drives you mad is to have one of those days where it's sunny and then it's cloudy and the clouds shift back and forth because, you know, I shoot in manual mode when I shoot sports 100% of the time, and there's just no way to transition between the light and the shadow, and it's mind-numbing. So, in general, you know, you kind of prefer even lighting regardless of whether it's bright sunlight or whatever, but just atmospheric conditions, man. September, give me night games. Good Lord. We shot, you know, at Ole Miss, what was it? It was 2 years ago. That's the hottest I've ever been outside of being a fireman. I thought I was going to die on the sideline. I was just baking. I'm not thinking, these kids are out here playing in this mess?
That was the game that afterwards Nick Saban told us in the press conference that there were coaches getting IVs at halftime.
Oh, it
just
was
from standing on the sidelines for 2 hours.
Yeah, I was, of course, you know, I shoot from my knees almost 100% of the time. And I'm kneeling down in the end zone, which is my typical shooting position. This is the end zone where Alabama players are facing me. And it happened to be the first quarter that the sun was in my face. And, you know, it was brutally hot. And, you know, you don't think about it. And I never used to think about it. But as I've gotten a little bit older, all that heat makes a big difference. Man, I was getting a little queasy down there. I had to go get some water and stuff at the end of the first quarter, which don't usually do that, but it was hot.
So anytime someone at home is watching the game on TV and they see that half the field is covered in shadow and then half of it's still in light and the shadows are moving across the field, that's when you guys are just going bonkers. That's
yeah, we're not saying very pleasant words at that point, because you'll have a play that starts in the sun, and then the worst of it is they'll throw a long pass into the shadow, and you have a four-stop. Well, a four-stop. I'm talking like you know what I mean. A vast difference.
I don't know what you mean.
It's the light changing from light to dark as far as your camera is concerned. And you may have a great play, but it's ruined because it's either washed out from too much light or dark because there's not enough light. And that's just mind-numbing. So then you do have to use some automatic modes, and I really hate that because the camera makes up its mind, and I don't like the camera making my decisions for me. So it's weird.
So how many cameras do you normally have during a game? I'll go down and see you guys on the field sometimes. I'm guessing it's generally either two or three around your neck at all times?
Yeah, two. For us, that's because that's what we're given. If I had three, I would probably carry three.
If you work for Sports Illustrated?
If I work for Sports Illustrated, I'd probably have six, but that's another story. You know, when I worked in Decatur all those years, I never had more than one camera body. And it makes you a little nervous because if something happens to your camera, you're pretty much done at that point. Since I come to Tuscaloosa, we shoot with two. One of them I always have with the long lens on it.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on where the teams are on the field and where I'm positioned on the field, I'll either have a short zoom or a medium to long zoom, like a 70 to 200, which is pretty typical.
So even with the two different cameras that you might have on during the middle of the game, you're still changing out lenses in the middle of drives in between plays based on where the team is, which direction they're going, and the play before. And
well, the worst – there's two things that are both horrible. One is being too tight and missing a picture, and one is being too loose and having to crop the daylights out of it.
Too tight means you're zoomed in too far, and too loose means that you have a tiny little postage stamp of action in your picture.
Yes, that's exactly what it means. You know, I shoot with a 400-millimeter lens and usually with a 1.4 teleconverter on it, which gives you an effective 580 millimeters, which is good from about the 35-yard line on your end of the field to the other end zone. You can shoot okay that way.
Okay.
But if it's closer than, say, the 35, then all you get is teeth and eyeballs. And that's not very attractive and not very helpful either. So you transition to take the teleconverter off, or you go to a 70 to 200 zoom, or, you know, whatever you may have. And then on your other body, you'll put on a 16 to 35 zoom so you can get the celebration if it happens to happen close to you.
Okay. So I'm sure another question that people ask you about once they realize that you're working on the sidelines during football games, and because they see this happen on TV sometimes, is how many times have you been run over during a football game by a football player?
Yeah, it's actually fairly rare. I got run over early in my career, or I got hit pretty hard early in my career, and I learned then it was time to move when they were coming your way. So I generally don't – I generally try to avoid contact. When I was at UNA, I was shooting a game as a student. And one of their linebackers hit me in the thigh as he was flying out of bounds. And I thought, that's not a very good idea. So I think from now on, I'll try to move. And my most recent football collision was with Alabama-Texas A&M here in Bryant-Denny. I guess it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
I had right before halftime, they intercepted a pass and just rolled into me. Both of the defensive backs just kind of rolled into me, and it broke my camera and lens.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I couldn't take it apart anymore. Now, it continued. I could shoot with it for the rest of the game, but I couldn't get it apart, so I had to send it all off to Canon, and they charged an amazing amount of money to get them apart and back where they function. So, yeah.
I would assume that it probably happens a little bit more at basketball. You know, I've obviously covered a lot of basketball games, a lot of football games. And in basketball, when they're right there on the baseline where you guys are shooting from, you're a lot closer. You're sitting down, so you have no mobility at all, essentially. And, you know, the action can happen a lot quicker, whereas in football, there can be further away coming your direction.
That's very true, and I've had several basketball players in my lap at one point or another,
I would imagine the basketball players are also sweatier because their jerseys are smaller.
Well, they're they're generally not as heavy and not generally running at full steam when they hit you. So given the choice, I would take the basketball player over the football player.
All right. So
something about a helmet to the sternum just has no appeal to me anymore.
Yeah, that's true, too, particularly given some of the football players Alabama has had. I would not enjoy the opportunity to be hit by Reuben Foster coming off the field or something like that. Speaking of individual players, do you have any Alabama players who've been a favorite of yours to shoot over the years, whether it was recent or, you know, in the last 20, 25 years?
Yeah. Looking back, you know, I loved Andrew Zhao as a player. He was always one of my favorite people from years back. He was, in the 90s. Mm-hmm. At least I hope so. And then Sean Alexander, who was right in that same era.
He was around 97, I think. Yeah.
And Sean Alexander was he was like poetry in motion when he ran the football. I just couldn't get over him being so big and so fluid. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't see anybody else like him until Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry was...
Who was even bigger.
Even bigger and even faster and way harder to tackle.
Yeah.
I always thought Sean went down a little bit easier than maybe his size indicated he should. Mm-hmm. But, man, Derrick Henry didn't go down easy for anybody. So I like those guys in, in terms of... I guess in terms of quarterbacks, I don't...
Could you lean a little bit closer in here, by the way?
Yeah, in terms of quarterbacks... I guess the recent guys, you know, I enjoyed photographing A.J. McCarron because he was always animated. Mm-hmm. And, he was fun. And what was the guy who was here a couple years ago that was from Florida State? I forgot his name already.
Jake Coker. Yeah.
Yeah, Jake Coker's mom was fun. Now, I always loved photographing Jake with his mom because she was really enthusiastic, man. But, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of great players, and you could just pick almost any year and find a great defensive player. It was always fun to shoot. But I will say, you mentioned Reuben Foster earlier. Man, that guy could unload on people. Mm-hmm. Now, it's hard to make a picture of a big hit, mm-hmm. but Lord have mercy. Reuben could hit you like, for a man his size, he had incredible power when he hit people.
Yeah. What would be your favorite football stadium to shoot at? Because you've been to most of the SEC, if not all 14, probably.
Right? I haven't been to all of them, no. And when I was in Decatur, we didn't travel. We just did home games. So I tell you what, Death Valley at LSU is a really cool place to go.
And it's always night game, so the light's always good.
It's always good. Texas A&M I won't say it's my favorite place, but it's extremely interesting. You know, nowhere else do they do all that unison chanting and stuff. And when you get 100,000 yeah. people chanting all the same, it's pretty impressive. I think just from a stadium standpoint, I always liked Ole Miss. Vaught-Hemingway Stadium always had sort of it's not so much anymore, but years ago, it had a real homey feel. You know, it had an open end to it. And
yeah.
it felt like a cool place. But I guess, you know, other than shooting home games, LSU's great because, man, their fans are – a lot of it has to do with atmosphere.
Right.
More so than stadium itself. And you won't find a better atmosphere than LSU. Even Auburn, man. Auburn's got a great atmosphere to shoot in. Sorry, Bama fans.
Yeah, we're going to have to move along real quick.
Sorry, moving right along.
Before people start turning this off. Would Bryant Denny be near the top of the list or somewhere in the middle? It can obviously kind of be – I think it can be difficult for us to – kind of peg where Bryant Denny is because we see it for, you know, the one or two really huge games a year. Uh-huh. We also see it three times a year for Utah State or Mercer. And so in our minds, you know, when I have a friend who covers Texas A&M and comes in and visits town, he raves about what the atmosphere is like at Bryant Denny Stadium. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good.
You know,
because that's the one time he sees it. Whereas we see it all of the other times when the crowd leaves at halftime.
Yeah, and that's the converse of that is also true because anywhere we go on the road, the fans are fired
up
to play Bama.
Bigger,
this is the
Alabama.
Biggest game of the year, so we always get their stadium's best. So it's really unfair to judge. But
when I covered Kentucky, it was kind of the exact opposite. You know, no one cared when Kentucky football came into town, but when you went on the road with the basketball team, that was everybody's T-shirt game. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It was the day that they always sold out. You know.
Yeah, and you know, when this is a good stadium to shoot in. It's not the best. It's hard, like you say, it's hard to judge, but I wouldn't say this is the best atmosphere stadium I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
Bama fans are, you know, when they got a good game, man, they'll roar with the best of them. But like you say, we see so many of these games where they're up 60-3, you know, that nobody's roaring at those games. So it does sort of bias your opinion. But from just a logistics and shooting standpoint, it's great to be at home. You know, it really is.
Now, obviously, do a lot more than just take pictures of Alabama football games. That's only about 14, 15 days a year most of the time. So what are some of the other events that you've shot over the years that have been particularly memorable or some of the other sports? Maybe let's start with this. So what's your favorite sport to shoot overall? Is it football or would it be something else?
It's actually baseball.
Okay.
I've always loved baseball. It's always been the game that I was best at playing, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And I love playing it. Now, football's 1A. one, you know, 1A, 1B. It's not like I would say, oh, forget football, because I love photographing football. I always have. And there's no sport in the Southeastern Conference where you'll get the atmosphere and the intensity that you get from football. So in that respect, football is higher up. But I love the pace of baseball. From a photographer's standpoint, it's great because when I shoot, I usually don't shoot from down by the dugouts. I usually shoot where I can move around the stadium, mm-hmm. because the stadium then becomes part of your picture. Mm-hmm. And it actually allows you to stop and frame photographs rather than just crank out your motor drive and fire away. So it gives you a little bit more chance to be creative, and I like that aspect of baseball. Plus, having played baseball a lot when I was growing up and in high school and everything, it was always my favorite sport. But, you know, I just shot boxing for the first time in my career, you know, and I've been doing this almost 30 years. So that boxing a couple Friday nights ago down here at River Market, and that was interesting, you know. And a few years back, I started shooting rodeo, which is absolutely fantastic. You know, I wouldn't want to do it every day, but I would shoot it once a year, you know, and it's like, wow, yeah. This is the coolest thing ever. So it's something about men trying to, you know, ride wild animals. It's one of those, you know, that sport was invented by drunk cowboys, and when I'm sitting here holding my beer, you know that's the way that had to start.
Yeah. Every other animal that humans have ever domesticated, we try to make them as docile as possible. And here we have these bulls that people try to make as mean and as strong and as angry as they can.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you're going to tie that cord where? No. Y'all are crazy. No. So I kind of enjoy it. For what little I'm known, I am known as a sports photographer. So, you know, this is sort of like heaven for me in terms of that. I get to shoot sports probably. Actually, sometimes it becomes a little bit more like hell than heaven because you have so many sports, you don't ever get a break from it. But it is a great place for sports photography.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, what are some of the most difficult events to shoot, or some of the assignments you get that you don't look forward to? I'm guessing, and it might be something like SEC Media Days or...
Yeah, anything with press conference attached to it.
Press conferences are pretty tough.
And the other one is banquet. Any kind of banquet is just like, just bang my head. But, you know, the challenge, I like to say that a real photojournalist, a real professional, can shoot a great photograph anywhere you go, but it comes from working hard on those assignments that you don't particularly like. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, you know, you can go shoot the handshake photo anytime and nobody wants to see the handshake photo. But what are you going to get? Are you going to look for that, or are you going to look for a reaction and emotion? And really, every photo assignment is about pressing yourself to be better than you were the assignment before. Mm-hmm. And that's been my philosophy for many years now, is to be better today than I was yesterday. And the assignment itself doesn't matter as much. I mean, yeah, there's things I enjoy and things I don't enjoy. But whatever assignment I'm shooting, whether it's news or sports, it matters to the people I'm photographing. Mm-hmm. And I have to take that attitude that I owe them the same amount of energy and enthusiasm and respect for their assignment as I would give to Alabama football or anything else. You know, it's just a matter of, I don't know what you call it, maybe personal pride and doing your work well, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I want to be the best I can be at whatever I'm doing. So, yeah.
And Gary mentioned shooting press conferences there. If you take a look at some of his stuff at Tidesports.com or at Tuscaloosa News, he does do a really outstanding job of at press conferences finding something other than the guy just standing behind the podium with a smile. He'll, you know, for example, when he had to shoot the baseball press conference when Brad Bohannon was announced as coach, you know, he got the podium picture, like I said, but also got a picture of Avery Johnson out in the hallway joking around with Bohannon, and it's, you know, two guys with each other, or, you know, the coach's wife meeting with the athletic director's wife out there, and, you know, kind of some moments like that or something, which I do think makes a difference than just having a guy standing behind a podium, you know, holding one arm out, holding two arms out, you know, doing some kind of hands gesture.
So, right. Yeah, years ago I had a reporter in Decatur ask me why I had shot a certain picture a certain way, and I remember it was a guy who was running for city council, and I had shot him from a low angle looking up at City Hall. And he said, why'd you do that? Why don't you just make a picture of him? I said, well, how are you going to write your lead? You know, I said, are you just going to say Joe Schmo is running for city council, or are you going to put a little flavor in it? He goes, oh. I'm like, yeah, because if I show you what you can see anyway, I'm not really doing my job, you know. And so I try to get, you know, I, for that picture you were talking about, I just followed Brad out into the hallway after the press conference. I don't know that Alabama necessarily likes for you to do that, but, you know.
They don't stop me.
They don't stop me. And it made for a much nicer photograph, you know, and it told more of us than just dude at the microphone. So you always try to do that. You want your pictures to tell a story.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question where you might get in trouble with some of our listeners here, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You mentioned that you've covered about 20 to 20 Decatur and the Tuscaloosa News.
Yeah.
So which of those Iron Bowls, because you get to be on the field for all these. We're up there in the press box, which is kind of a sanitized environment. Down on the field, you're in the middle of all that atmosphere that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So which of those Iron Bowls to you were particularly memorable? Which ones did you like or that you didn't like?
I can't recall any that I just flat out didn't like. My perfect Iron Bowl is Alabama and Auburn both coming in undefeated with the West Division Championship on the line every year. You know, if it was me, that's what I would want because I want that intensity in the ball game. I remember the first, it was when Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown were at Auburn and they were
like
really,
04, 05-ish,
yeah, somewhere around there. They were heavily favored. And I remember Cadillac Williams took the first handoff of the game and ran like 70 yards for a touchdown. And I thought, oh, this is going to get out of hand. Well, that was the only touchdown Auburn scored all day. Alabama came back and I think won it 31-7. And that was such a shocking, because that was not supposed to beat Auburn that day. Auburn was in cruise control going for SEC title and everything. So I really enjoyed that game and I got some really good pictures. Then I know Alabama fans are going to absolutely hate this, but the kick six game was amazing. I've photographed.
Just from the intensity?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the unexpected nature, the way it
Gary
ended.
Gary did not graduate from Auburn.
No, and full disclosure, though, I did have a daughter who graduated from Auburn. So, but yeah. All right,
it's okay. Maybe one of your kids will go to Alabama here.
I have to pause here and tell you a funny story, okay?
Okay.
When I was a little kid, it was in kindergarten, okay? And my kindergarten teacher was also my babysitter, okay? So she held kindergarten in the basement of her house, and there were like 20, 30 kids. And I remember the punt, Bama punt game where they blocked the kicks. And my babysitter had converted me into a full-blown Auburn fan because you couldn't be in her house and not be. She had like three kids who graduated Auburn and everything. And so I remember so distinctly her jumping around her living room, screaming, yumping, yeah, as that game progressed. And then I sort of transitioned back to being a Bama fan. And then I moved out of state, you know. And everybody wants to know, who do you pull for? And really, as a journalist, I don't really pull for anything other than a really good ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Because
good pictures, good
stories. Yeah, good pictures, good story. And in that respect, I don't care who wins. Now, since I covered the University of Alabama, I really want the University of Alabama to win because covering winning is way better than covering losing. That's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, going back to your original question. That game, the kick six game, was amazing all the way through. And then there's the game that ended the Tuberville run, where Auburn had won, what was it, six consecutive?
Yeah, right when Saban got there.
I remember getting a picture as the Alabama players were leaving the field, and they were holding up number seven, you know, sort of taunting the Auburn fans that were present. And I got good stuff at that game, too. And, you know, those three games from the Iron Bowls that I've covered – probably stand out more, and there may have been other games that were better. I don't know. It would have been hard to imagine a better football game than that kick six game. It was competitive the whole way through, and the way it ended was just so unexpected. It was like that, you know, the Cal band game and the Flutie last minute hurrah touchdown. It's just one of those places you don't go to a game thinking, oh, I'm going to be at the greatest college football game ever. And then suddenly you are, and you realize at the end and go, wow, that was amazing. So
that made me think of one other thing. Since you are down on the field for these games, what do you do when the fans are rushing the field after a game?
Oh, good God, you get out of the way as quick as you possibly can.
you get over to the wall, or do you go towards the middle of it?
No, I don't go towards the middle. What I try to do is get my objective is to get out of the way because those people, when they're not paying any attention to you or anybody else, they are only want to get on the field to celebrate, and they will hurt you. Not intentionally, but they will hurt you, and they will break your gear. So what I try to do is get my gear in close to my body and then sort of hunker down like I'm pressing into a strong wind and get my way through. And then when that game happened, I actually climbed up in the vacated stands to shoot some pictures from up high, because you did not want to be in that melee on the field, first because you couldn't make a picture, and second because it just wasn't safe.
Yeah.
So
when I was in college at Kentucky, my junior year there was John Calipari's first year of the team, with John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Patrick Patterson.
That was a great team.
All those guys, yeah. There was one game. I was not covering this game because I was a sports editor, so I was back in Lexington working, making a newspaper. Our basketball writer was at this game at South Carolina, where South Carolina upset Kentucky. Kentucky may have been undefeated going into the game. Either way, they would have been, yeah, you know, number one, number three, something like that. It was a big win for South Carolina. And our photographer, as soon as the game was over, turned around from where he was shooting on the baseline, climbed up to the highest part of the stadium or the arena, and was able to get a picture of all of the South Carolina fans on the court, which is not an easy thing to do when you think about the energy that it takes to sit there and shoot a basketball game for 2.5 or 3 hours, especially one that is going to be competitive like that. Mm-hmm. You're keyed into it the whole time. Then you turn around and you run up the stadium stairs.
Oh, yeah, and it's no joke running with all that equipment either. Because you don't want to damage your equipment. You don't want to lose your equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to move, and that gear is not light. I will tell you that.
Yeah. It's not expensive either. Not cheap either, rather.
It's not cheap at all.
For those of you guys listening at home, that's why that has come up a few different times.
Yeah.
So for folks who are just listening on the podcast and not on the website, some folks download it through iTunes or through another website, this might be kind of difficult for them. But wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about a few of your favorite pictures, if you have any. So if you do, then we'll go ahead and post those on tidesports.com, and people can take a look at those if you have any of them that stand out to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, we could put some up. You're talking about sports or just anything?
Probably sports, yeah.
Yeah, I you know, there's a picture. It's not a particularly great picture. It's just one of those good human moments that is hard to find sometimes at football games. But before the championship, Alabama-LSU national championship game, I made a picture of A.J. McCarron. He's in the hallway off the field, and he's hugging a coach, and they're praying together. And I wasn't real sure that they were praying, you know, and I saw his brother. You know, AJ's brother played on the team. He wasn't a starter or anything. But right. I saw him sometime later, and I asked. I said, hey, man, I made this picture. Was AJ praying in that photo? He said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think they were pretty devout Catholics. I wouldn't want to make that statement. But it was one of those moments, you know, that you might see at a high school game mm-hmm. that you don't really expect to see at a college football game.
The national championship.
Yeah, especially, yeah. And so it caught me, and I was really happy to have that shot. Like I said, it's not my best, but it was. There was a picture I made during the SEC championship before Alabama went to the 2009 championship game at the Rose Bowl, where mm-hmm. Greg McElroy has scrambled out of the pocket. And, you know, Greg wasn't a big runner.
No.
But he went down and sort of did that tightrope down the sideline
mm-hmm.
On his way to a big first down that kept an Alabama drive alive. And I was just right on that, man. I got this great sequence of pictures of him tiptoeing and leaning and all like that. And yeah, there was a picture of Mark Ingram from that same year in the championship when he slid into the end zone and put both hands. You know, it was a really cool moment.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, there's so many pictures over the years. They kind of tend to blur in your mind, in your memory. But, you know, so there's got a really nice celebration photo this year after the championship game with Rayshon Evans. Mm-hmm. He's like screaming with his arms out. You know,
yeah,
it was a really cool moment.
Yeah.
You know what? The ones that you miss are really the ones that hurt you. those cause you physical pain, and there's no joke. During the championship game this year, I wasn't in a particularly good spot to get a picture of the touchdown pass that Tua threw.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I got a picture of Tua throwing the ball, but it's terrible. He's blocked by two or three people, and I've just got sort of his arm and his hand and his face, and it's not very good. And then on the other end, as I shot the picture, I'm like, oh, I got it, you know, because I was on the side. The guy was going away from me.
Devontae Smith.
Yeah, and he caught the ball. Unfortunately, our other photographer there had a head-on view of it and had a nice picture. But mine had back focused on the Georgia defensive back. So
I had
the Georgia back in focus. But I was sort of redeemed because the celebration happened literally right in front of me. I didn't even have to move. They all sort of did that big dog pile right in front of me.
Yeah.
So that worked out. You know, sometimes we tend to think of Alabama as being unemotional because they don't display a whole lot of emotion for you in terms of what you can shoot photographically. You know, they're sort of
when you win so much that it's kind of hard to have that emotion repeatedly.
So to have that level of emotion was refreshing, man. I loved their reaction, and it was so spontaneous, spur of the moment. It was great, you know, really great.
Yeah. I need to get Gary out of here in just a second, but I did have one more question. I know you and I have talked about this, but for the folks who are listening, how many pictures do you take during a normal Alabama football game? Since you're shooting digital, obviously, film is, you know, long gone the way of the dodo.
Oh, yeah, so and God rest his soul.
What's a normal take for you when you sit down to edit after a game?
Well, you know, and I hate to say this, but a lot does depend on the game itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if they're playing Kent State, maybe 1,500 frame shot. Now, we're certainly not going to turn all those frames in. I'm aiming for, personally, to post between 75 and 100 images to our web gallery. Okay,
right.
But when we go to a national championship game, that level of shooting goes up to probably 3,000 or 4,000 frames because you don't want to miss anything. I mean, you know, everything can be critical. And I'm not real good at always looking at the coaches for reaction shots because Nick Saban is a reaction shot machine. His anger tantrums, he can throw a tantrum, man, I'll tell you. Matter of fact, my wife's favorite picture of any sport I've ever shot is one of Nick Saban in, what was it, 2007 at Auburn, and he's like, just furious, you know, he's ready to slam the headphones down, and she calls it the mad conductor picture. So, yeah.
So 3,000 or 4,000 for a big game.
Yeah, and then you're going to, like I say, you edit quickly. You know, what we do, we pre-tag photos because we can view them on our camera, so we can tag good ones that we know we want to edit, and that really speeds up post-game, especially at something like a national championship where it's already going to be late. Mm-hmm. That way we can just go right to those tagged images and pop them out quickly. So that helps.
Okay. Well, that was all I had. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about? Any other good stories to share?
I'm just glad you didn't want me to talk about recruiting, man. Other than that, we're good.
Yeah, we don't need you to talk about that.
Thank God.
Thanks for coming on, though.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
This was interesting.
Yeah, it was fun.
I hope folks liked it. So until next time, thanks for listening, folks.